gentlemen, we have reached the point in our meeting that it's time for our public hearings. And before we start, our esteemed counsel has a few very wise words for you regarding your conduct. And I would ask that you listen to him very closely, because there may be a quiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As was stated, this is the time and the place for the public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings will be conducted under the rules of the commission that were adopted in 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting and to view the commission's deliberations and voting on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov, and they should be very clear since we all have brand new microphones for the first time tonight. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the instructions of the chairman. If you have a cell phone, pager, or other telephonic device with you, we ask that you take the time now to switch it to silent service or turn it off. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits or testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. When the applicant's through with presenting its information, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there's a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium or the lectern for Mr. Burton's benefit and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on public comment or to terminate testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may ask questions of supporters or opponents, but no direct questioning or cross-examination will be permitted. All questions should be directed to the chairman, and the chairman will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary or appropriate. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Our first public hearing is subdivision 2005-26, Ivy Branch Associates.
Now, this is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 200.6 acres into 360 lots under the cluster development concept, located on both sides of Road 303, 220 feet southwest of Road 303A. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has received any additional comments since that committee meeting.
Mr. Wheatley, we've not received any additional comments. On March 19th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you has received a copy of that. Also included was a revised plan addressing the comments from the TAC committee. And on March 14th, we received a letter from, it's addressed to the commission from Norma Lee Burton Derrickson. It makes reference to the site being in a level four, the infrastructure, roads, open space, wastewater treatment, and stormwater management, recreational areas, a central trash collection, and the quality of life problems. And that letter will be made a part of the record for this application. That's all we received.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Dennis Schrader, bar number 53, and I represent the applicant. In this procedure tonight, it is subdivision application number 2005-26, the application of Ivy Branch Associates, LLC. I have with me this evening three people who will participate in these proceedings on behalf of the applicant. They include Jennifer Finch, representing the ownership group, Jason Palkowitz, and Rebecca Michaels from McCrone, who did the plan preparations and are familiar with the technical requirements of both the ordinance and the plan as it was presented. To briefly summarize, which I believe you already know, this project is a continuation of the Stonewater Creek subdivision projects. This particular project, identified as phases 10 through 13, is located on both sides of Sussex County Road 303A, about 2,000 feet west of its intersection with Delaware Route 5 or 23, as you may want to call it. It is adjacent to previously approved portions of the Stonewater Creek project, and in particular, Phase 9. The designation on a comprehensive land plan for this particular project is a low-density area, and under the state strategies map, it is a level 4. The proposed total acreage for this particular project is 200 acres. As I have indicated to you, and as the application will tell you, this is a proposed subdivision under the cluster ordinance that will result in a different design than you would see under the normal subdivision ordinance. The current use of the property, or the current zoning classification, is as agricultural residential district, and it is currently cultivated. Each of you has had the opportunity to visit the site in the normal course of your business as zoning commissioners, and we have provided to you a book last week that contained a number of exhibits, I believe there are 19 in total, that provide you with the opportunity, 23 in number, that include everything from the boundary maps to the layout, through the plus comments, the responses to the plus comments, flood maps, traffic impact study reviews, and open space management plans. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, what I would like to do at this time is to present Mr. Palkowitz, address a few questions to him, and allow him to begin the more formal and technical presentation. When we conclude that, I would like to have one moment to address the comments of the letter from Mrs. Derrickson. Since I can't rebut her letter, I will try to anticipate her comments, all right?
All right, sir.
Proceed. Thank you. Jason, if you will, please, you have put a couple boards up, one I believe that faces the audience and one that faces the commission. First things first, could you describe for me what this particular plot is?
Excuse me. First things first, you're right. And the first thing is, this gentleman has to identify himself for the record.
Jason Palkowitz with McCrone.
Thank you, sir.
And the, and the other thing, Mr. Chairman, is that if you're standing at this podium and shuffle paper, every red light in this room is going on.
I'm noticing that. We have quite a system here that we're experimenting with tonight. So I would advise those of you who are from the public, you might want to be careful about any sidebar comments that you might be having in the pews there, because I think this system just might pick them up.
We do have a remote microphone. If you're going to go to the boards and
sure.
Get a presentation, that'll make it a little easier than running back and forth.
Sure.
It's all in.
Thank
you. You have to put it right up close to you, though.
Okay.
They don't go off for him. Why is that?
We're hoping.
I think we know who you are now.
Karaoke night.
And we're still in Stonewater Creek phases 10, right? If you would, Jason, would you step over to that board, to my right, to the commission's left, and tell us what you're showing us?
This is Stonewater Creek, 10 through 13. 7 through 9 is over here. This is the continuation of the development. The previous phase had a road that was anticipated to connect through. It's a residential cluster subdivision with open space, clubhouse, a wastewater treatment facility, and lots of open space.
And how many units are in this particular project?
360.
Are there any recreational amenities?
Yes, there is. There is a clubhouse with a pool. There are walking trails. There is some open spaces in between lots that are used for both passive and active recreation.
I noticed that there are several green areas around the perimeters of the project. Can you just describe briefly what those are?
Yes. This area here, here, and up in here are existing wooded areas. Through our process planning this and taking into account plus comments, we have maintained a significant portion of this woods. And we've maintained almost all of the woods by the wetlands and provided buffers to the wetlands and kept our ponds away from the wetlands. Only these lots up in here are They're about 40 feet to 45 feet away from the wetlands. The rest of the lots are further away than that.
And to the left, what is that area right there that's also green and pink? At least pink from here.
That's a proposed wastewater treatment plant.
If you would, please, could you describe generally the area in which this is situated and how it fits into the state strategies, ma'am?
As I said before, this is Stonewater Creek 739. Next to it is, I believe, Double Eagles, which is a preliminary stage, has approval as a residential development. It's currently south of another approved, I think it's an ARRPC development. And there's currently, obviously, phases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 over here. So it's surrounded by development under construction or permitted.
Do we have anything in our... is the aerial map at figure 2 in the booklet that represents what this area looks like as it exists now? Do you know?
Yeah, that is it. Yes, except for just construction going on just off the map.
And there are other projects in the area other than those belonging to Stonewater Creek, is that correct?
Correct.
If you will, please, could you describe for the benefit of the commission how DLDOT's comments came into the design of this particular project and what you all did with DLDOT?
Okay, for this project, we're actually relocating some of these curves in Townsend Road. The existing curves are very tight and they're not exactly safe. We have already met with John Fiore and discussed the requirements and some of the radiuses, and we're basically rebuilding the road from project end to project end. And at this end, we're actually providing additional right-of-way because this curve just off our property is substandard as well. So we're providing right-of-way so that they can fix it in the future.
And for the benefit of the commission, I draw your attention to figures 20 and 21 in the booklet. Those include the traffic impact study review and the review letter from DLDOT indicating their response to that traffic impact study. In addition to DLDOT, there were the normal plus comments that were presented to you also. Is that correct?
Correct.
And those would be found in the book at figure 11 for the benefit of the commission. Can you address those comments and what the response is by McCrone on behalf of the developer of this project?
Sure. One of their comments was maintain the forest. Because there's several steps. We originally submitted a plan for 400 units, which had a lot of more of it disturbed. Based on those comments, we came up with this plan of 360 units that helped us meet some of their comments, being maintain the forest, which maintained it, a good portion of it, provide buffers to the wetlands, and specifically maintain these forests up near the wetlands, which we did. They requested that stormwater management ponds be pulled back from the wetlands. We accommodated that. We provided amenities on site, being the trails and the passive and active recreation, including the clubhouse and the pool house. One thing they were looking for was large chunks of open space. We provided that in certain areas on the plans, with the trees and this area in here. And there's some areas around the ponds that they could be used. They also, I'm trying to think, that covers about all. And they did request that the road be relocated, and we accommodated that.
Are there going to be any street amenities in this particular project, such as sidewalks, street lights, or the like, that will go into the design?
Yes, there's a sidewalk shown, and there will be street lights.
If you will, please. There was a drawing prepared by you all that we've submitted also to the commissioners that shows how this particular project would compare if it were done as a straight subdivision. Do you have that with you?
Yes.
And explain, if you will, to the commission the differences between how this particular project evolves as a cluster when compared to the subdivision layout.
Like they say, pictures worth a thousand words. This layout doesn't address all basically the plus comments. The forests are taken out. the lots are up against the wetlands. The forest over here is also removed. There's no open space. There's no real trail system.
I suppose you would have an opinion as to whether or not the cluster is better or superior to that of the subdivision?
I would say absolutely. Hold back up here. The lots back up to open space. There's clearly more green areas on the plan. Clearly more activities for the residents.
Thank you. I'm going to, if you'll permit me, let Mr. Conklewood stand down for a moment. We'll have Ms. Michaels stand up and review with you the subdivision site plan review criteria, and then I'll make all of us available for any questioning that you may have at that time.
All right, sir.
Okay. Oops, where are you? Would you like to identify yourself, please?
Rebecca Michaels, McCrone.
And you're an engineer in training with McCrone?
Yes.
And you participated in the design of this particular project?
Yes.
And you're also familiar with the Chapter 99 requirements as far as site plan detailing and preparation are concerned?
Yes.
Excuse me. Would you be kind enough to describe to the chairman and the members of the commission how this particular project fared in terms of the considerations required by Chapter 99?
Sure. I'm actually just going to walk you through page 9 in the booklet that was submitted to you. I'm just going to briefly touch on the important parts of the subdivision considerations. The first item is integration of proposed into existing. And like we've mentioned before, the Stonewater Creek 1 through 10 or 10 through 13 is an extension of the already approved or under construction Stonewater Creek phases 1 through 9. We're also surrounded by other development to the north, Indigo Run, which has been preliminary approved, and Double Eagle Farms to the west, which has been preliminary approved as well. Within the development, we are trying to integrate our subdivision by keeping the existing forest, trying to integrate the open space within the subdivision, and lessen the environmental impacts that we can throughout the subdivision. Also, we are not having any lots to have road frontage along Towson Road. Everything will have road frontage along the interior subdivision streets. And there will be landscaping along the edges of the project, particularly the west, that does not have an existing forest. Item number 2 is the minimal use of wetlands and floodplains. None of the non-tidal wetlands on site will be disturbed, and we will be providing a large buffer for the wetlands. Most of the lots have a 100-foot buffer. There's only about 9 of the 45 lots that have about a 45-foot minimum buffer from the wetlands. We will be preserving many natural and historic features on site, including 82% of the existing forest, also 100% of the non-tidal wetlands. The existing cemetery, which is located in the middle of the site, has been delineated, and there will be an easement provided for the cemetery for access. By utilizing the clustered option, we were able to provide 47% open space in the development. The open space includes the forested areas, the recreational areas, passive and active open space. We will be providing scenic views of the wooded areas by preserving them, and we will be constructing trails through the forest to allow for scenic views and open space. Number 5 is minimization of tree, vegetation, and soil removal. Once again, we are saving 82.6% of the existing trees. Also, our grade changes will be limited just as much as we need to for the site. Number 6 is screening. Screening will be provided by the existing wooded area along the perimeter of the site, and where there isn't the wooded area, we will be providing a landscaping buffer. Artesian Water Company will provide potable water and fire protection for the development. and wastewater services for the development will also be provided by Artesian. Number 9 is surface and groundwater pollution prevention. Along Towson Road, we will be constructing drainage ditches to provide quality pretreatment and stormwater conveyance. Through post-development design, the runoff will be treated better than it was during the pre-development conditions and will be per Delaware standards. Also, we have provided TMDL analysis, and that is included as Figure 18, and we've met the TMDL reduction for nitrogen and phosphorus. One issue that PLUS had with the subdivision was the location within the groundwater recharge area, which is located in the southeast corner. We've redesigned the subdivision to stay out of that area, which is where we've left the existing trees. The developed area does not exceed the 20% impervious cover threshold allowed in that groundwater recharge area. Number 10 is erosion and sediment control stormwater management. The stormwater management quality and quantity will be provided by several on-site wet ponds. And the erosion and sediment control will be provided by methods approved by Sussex County. Number 11 is safe vehicular and pedestrian mobility. The traffic impact study has been prepared and approved by DLDOT. It's also located in your booklet under Figure 2021. The entrance will be designed per DLDOT standards. Also, once again, we will be realigning Towson Road to allow for a safer design and realignment of the county road. To promote multimodal traffic, we will be providing a 15-foot buffer along Towson Road. And within the development, we will be providing sidewalks and walking trails for biking, jogging throughout the development. The internal roads will be private for public use, and they will meet or exceed county standards. In addition, the internal road provided will allow access into phases 7 through 9 to the east. Number 12, effect on area property values. The Stonewater Creek 10 through 13 development will include many amenities, is preserving a lot of open space, natural wetlands, natural trees, and by providing all these features for its residents, we believe that it will have an increase on area property values. Number 13, preservation and conservation of farmland. The tract of land being developed will not be used for farmland. It is currently only partially farmed at this time. Number 14, effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. The Stonewater Creek development will have an effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities. We estimate that 360 lots could generate an additional 180 students for the Indian River School District, and the developer will contact the Cape Henlopen School District Emergency Management Agency and other associated public agencies. The Stonewater Creek development will provide community facilities such as the active recreational field, playground, jogging trails, walking trails, and other passive recreation areas. The Stonewater Creek development will have an effect on area transportation and roadways, and we will improve the road per DLDOT standards. Number 16, compatibility with other land uses. This subdivision incorporates many land uses within the development, such as non-tidal wetlands, forested areas, pond areas, recreational vegetated open space areas, a utility lot, rapid infiltration basins, and landscape buffer areas. All areas will be planned for aesthetic transitions from one to the next and will be maintained by the HOA. And the last item under subdivision considerations is the effect on area waterways. Ultimately, this subdivision will discharge to Phillips Branch. All stormwater will be treated for quality and quantity prior to discharge.
If you will, Rebecca, could you review with us the calculations that you performed concerning the various acreages that are devoted to open space, forested retention area? There was a chart.
Mm-hmm. On page one of your booklet, I have a chart at the very beginning, so you can see right up front what we've done. Our site area is a total of 200.6 acres. We're allowed a density of 2. We've only proposed 1.795. We're allowed 401 lots, have proposed 360. We're required 30% open space, which is 60.18 acres. And we've proposed 47.7% open space, which is 95.59 acres. The existing trees that remain will be 82.6%, which is 51.5 acres.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to call Jason back for just one moment, please. One of the contentions that was raised in the PLUS review, Jason, was the level 4 area in the state strategies map. Jason, if you will, please, I'd like for you to describe what the exhibit is that you've just placed on the easel and what does it show as it relates to this particular area.
We talked briefly about this, about the other developments in the area surrounding these phases. This just is a graphic representation of them. The gray is what's currently built or under construction, residential. The red are currently either preliminary or final approval, but have not started construction. And the yellow is what's currently in for review. That may be plus preliminary plat stage, but in the loop, in the process. And Stonewater Creek, as you can see, this phase 10 to 13 is right in between two red, which is approved projects. It may be outside of, maybe out in a level 4, but it is currently in an area that is growing.
Thank you. Let me offer you a couple comments about a couple things that we haven't addressed at this point. One of them is that under the proposed expansion of this project, typically we would submit for review by Mr. Robertson restrictive covenants indicating how the homeowners association would be formed, how common amenities will be maintained, and other things such as that. Because this is a continuation of the prior Stonewater Creek developments, we have not submitted them for the reason that these phases, 10 through 13, will be incorporated into those particular covenants, as have the prior subdivisions. One of the things I do want to point out is that Ms. Finch and I spent a fair amount of time drafting these particular covenants. These covenants have been recorded and they have been amended at least once and maybe a second time. But the purpose of these not only is to do the things that you would normally do, but as we were developing these particular covenants, it was agreed, at least between Jennifer and me, and then ultimately with all the ownership group, that we would bring some different features into the covenants. They include a management company that will manage the project and contracts for certain services with that management group that would be binding upon the various owners within the subdivisions among those. And it's very important as we move towards responding to Ms. Derrickson's letter is trash removal. There will be a single trash removal contract for all of the project. The purpose that is served by this is, one, we make sure that all the garbage is collected within the subdivisions. Two, we don't have garbage trucks 6 days a week showing up at various times during the day at any of these particular projects. The schedule is the same, and we can have a little more uniform look to the project. It serves two purposes. One of them is it makes for peace and quiet in the neighborhood, and of course, if you're the developer, it makes for a little more marketable product if you keep it clean and these things are under control. Ms. Derrickson drafted a letter and forwarded it to the commission, and it was received on March 14th, and I just want to respond briefly to her comments. First off, I will start with her conclusion. We, like her, favor cluster development with a large area of true active open space delineated. And we think that based upon the comments that have been given to you by Rebecca, that you can determine that the acreage within this project has been very much so devoted to this particular project. There were questions raised by Ms. Derrickson concerning the roads or being substandard or sharp curves. Jason has described for you the requirements of DLDOT and how that will be corrected. We've spoken to you about passive open recreation, again, 56.15 acres out of a 200-acre tract. There are areas that are going to be involved in other uses, including the wastewater treatment plant, the RIBS, stormwater management, the cemetery, roads, wetland buffers, and so forth, and that amounts to just about 38.77 acres. With those thoughts in mind, and the note also that there are services being provided by Artesian, both as to potable water and as to disposal of sanitary waste, we feel that we have met the requirements of the cluster subdivision ordinance and provided you with a superior product, which is a continuation of that which you have seen in the past. I do have Jennifer with me, who is the owner's representative. I'm going to ask her a question, and she's going to say no. Is there anything you'd like to add, Jennifer, that we've missed? I like that. All right, Mr. Wheatley, if there are anything that the commission would like to ask, we're available for response.
All right, sir, you stand by and we'll find out. Okay, Mr. Johnson.
I have one or two. Could you tell me what your proposed open space includes, in your calculation of acreages? And
I'll let Rebecca take that one. She did the calculations.
I have all the acreages broken down. The open space includes 43 acres of forested areas, 25 acres for open space, parks, pedestrian paths, 8.32 acres of non-tidal wetlands, 5.15 acres of stormwater management areas, 3.98 acres of landscape buffers, 6.23 acres of rapid infiltration basin areas, and 3.6 acres for recreational facilities.
How many acres was that for recreation?
3.6. That's only for the clubhouse, pool area. There's also an additional 1.25 acre that we have set aside for other active recreation, playground, play lot.
Could you point that
out
where that might be? And how might access be to that spot? That looks like it's all self-enclosed.
There's going to be an easement along the lot lines and a path back in there.
Okay. And while you're up, could you clarify for me what the amenities are? Because on page 12, you make number 14B, you make reference to a whole bunch of amenities, but then in other parts, the only thing I hear about is the pool, the clubhouse, and now I'm hearing about maybe a playground or something and stuck in that spot.
Actually, on page 14, I have a chart there which gives the comparison between the cluster and non-cluster design. And then under the amenities,
Wait a minute, let me find it, please.
Sorry. Okay. Page 14.
I got it.
Okay. We have the walking, jogging, biking trails that are throughout the development. Also, the picnic and playground area, the clubhouse, the pool, the sun deck area.
So some of the stuff that's referenced on, referring you back to page 12, number 14B, you make reference to the tennis courts. Is that not something that's proposed?
Yes, tennis courts are proposed.
And where might they be?
In which
unavailable area might they be located?
They would be by the clubhouse, that area.
They're going to be by the clubhouse?
Correct.
Okay. So we are talking tennis courts?
Correct, yes.
You can put up a basketball hoop too, right, at the end of it?
Sure.
Thank you. One of the recommendations that I saw from the plus comments had to deal with sidewalks on both sides of the street, and that's pretty typical in cluster developments. Is there a reason why you're proposing one side versus both sides?
I think that's just how we originally proposed it. I don't believe the developer is against both sides. I think we can do that. Yes, we can put it on both.
Okay.
I know. These are sensitive.
They're very sensitive. That's duly recorded, Counselor.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, how do you pronounce the road that goes through there? Rebecca.
Towson.
Towson, okay. Is that the same as Townsend? Or?
Townsend.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not an Eastern Shore native.
We picked that up.
If you haven't picked that up already.
We picked that up.
Okay.
How do you propose people safely getting across Townsend to your clubhouse? Because your clubhouse obviously is stuck over to the one section on the other side of Townsend Road. And how might they safely get there, and what kind of arrangements will you have for people to park? Because obviously if I'm a grandparent, I'm down in the bottom left-hand corner, I'm not going to walk all the way over to that clubhouse. I'm going to drive and drop off my grandkids.
There'll be parking facilities at that clubhouse. Also, that clubhouse, if I had the microphone, I could show you what we changed. One of the last things we did was actually move that clubhouse. That clubhouse used to be over here, and we asked ourselves the same question you're asking. Only reason we moved it from here is because it's actually going to help serve these units on this side, too. That's why it is where it is. And as far as vehicular, we're going to have places to park. And pedestrian, we'll have a crosswalk right here at this intersection.
Okay. And maybe it's in your book, but I didn't see it. What? Now we're back to Towson Road. Are there walking paths or bicycle paths proposed along that? That's part of the right-of-way that normally DelDOT throws
yes,
out?
Yes, there'll be a multimodal path on each side.
On each side. And one of the other comments I noticed in the plus comments was they talked about the connection to Double Eagle Farms, and if I'm correct, your comments were that you were not going to do that?
That is correct.
And why was DelDOT or the state wanting that connection?
They just want it for general, better vehicular traffic. But we already have Townsend Road right next to it, really.
And their subdivision fronts, I mean, they have access directly to Townsend Road.
Townsend.
Okay.
Townsend. Well, typically, my understanding is the reason they like to have those connections is so that for safer transportation and less stress on the state roads. If people are in the one development and they have friends in the other development, they don't have to drive out of their development onto the state-maintained road into yours. And that's something for you to take into consideration with your proposals. I'm working on it. wetland buffer. I understand typically we look at a minimum of 50, and you made reference in your 99.9C about there were some lots that were only 45 feet.
From the back of lot.
Okay.
If you include the setback, there would be an additional 10.
Okay.
They are, to expand upon that, are they non-tidal or tidal wetlands?
Non-tidal.
Non-tidal. We don't have a setback requirement from non-tidal.
Okay. Thank you. And I noticed that this one is having its own sewer treatment plant. Didn't we recently have Stonewater Creek got permission to expand and to provide service to other developments? Is that not correct, Mr. Lang?
The conditional use that went through.
Which was yes. Part of the Stonewater property on Route 5, and its purpose was to provide for central sewage treatment on Stonewater Creek and other developments owned by the same developer.
So why would you be proposing your own sewer treatment plant for this section when you...
There are two things. There's one difference, and that is that the conditional use would allow for the, I believe it's phase 7. Is that right, Lawrence? Phase 7? Isn't that where the other plant is?
Yeah.
And the other plant would be as a conditional use permitted not only to serve the other Handler Mitchell developments, which we included in that presentation, River Oaks, which is to the north and east of this particular project under a certificated area. It also has to be available to serve the intervening areas between Stonewater and River Oak along that particular public highway. As this case is developing, this has been included also, but not as a conditional use for the purpose of potentially serving this particular project. There are two different directions in which it could go. One of them is that if it's not necessary, then it won't be built, and there may be additional area for other uses at a later date. We contemplate that if everything were magically to happen tonight, it's still more than 2 years before building permits would be issued. In that amount of time, as you can imagine, state regulatory requirements concerning public utilities might very well change, or the county's attitude towards public collection of sanitary waste would change. So one possibility is it could be abandoned. The other one is that it may be necessary for other reasons 2 years from now. And I guess the best way to characterize it, Mr. Johnson, is we're hedging our bets.
Okay. Because I was just concerned why that you'd have one, sewer treatment plant servicing other projects when if that could service this one also and free up that additional open space where people can maybe feel more free about walking on it than something that's rapid infiltration.
I'm not picking on this commission or anybody in the land development business, but as you know, you file these things and there is a considerable length of time before you actually either get public hearings or you get to approvals. And in recent years, the dynamics of regulatory change made this the prudent choice.
Mm-hmm.
And in short, for all that Dennis just described, this sewage treatment facility may not be built. It may be connected to the plant that's proposed along Route 5 on the expansion.
Yep.
Okay. You made reference to a possibility of 180 school children, and where might they meet the school bus and enter and exit and all that?
Believe we will be providing. We don't have it planned on this plan for the school bus shelters, but if it's it's a requirement, then.
So that's a lot of kids to be staying alongside the road,
mm-hmm.
potentially. Okay. That was my one or two questions. Thank you.
All right, sir, Mr. Burton.
I just have one question on the cemetery. What is the plan? How are you going to handle that cemetery?
It's been delineated. I believe it's going to be part of the covenants.
Yes, it'll be protected.
Is
part
state
of the open space.
The state requiring a preservation covenant for it, or something along those lines? With
you'll know that one. If not, it will be preserved.
As I say,
it'll be preserved next. The typical response would be to preserve it and have access to the immediate heirs or survivors, as they may be. To have access to it.
Yeah, I think you all addressed that in your plus comments.
Yeah.
Mr. Burton, just so you know, kind of what happens is the Delaware State Historic Preservation Office, when they find out that there's a cemetery or even the potential for a cemetery, they require like an archaeological study, and they also require you to do a preservation covenant. It's either incorporated into restrictive covenants or is recorded separately, just like Mr. Schrader said, so that any descendants of the people that are buried there have access to it, and also it's maintained as a non-disturbance area. So they're real specific about what they require and what you can and can't do in that area. Separate and apart, really, from anything that the Planning and Zoning Commission may do. They kind of take their own jurisdiction over it.
Will it be fenced at all?
I don't know at this time. I don't think really the thought is about the fence or not. I'm assuming it will.
If Jennifer's going to speak, she needs to come up to the mic.
Thank you, Lawrence.
We got to get her in here somehow.
Somehow.
Hi,
Jennifer Finch with Ivy Branch Associates. There is another cemetery, I think it's on phase 7 of Stonewater Creek. Mm-hmm. And we had it delineated along with the cemetery that is in phases 10 through 13 by, like he was saying, an archaeologist who went in and delineated. We have a full report on it, I believe. I don't know if it was submitted with the package.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't recall if the previous one was fenced, but I'm thinking that it may have been. It is separated. There is an area around it. If you require that we fence it, we will certainly fence it.
Who maintains the cemetery?
It's we do not maintain the cemetery, I do not believe. The Homeowner Association will do it. Mm-hmm. I know we had to provide a walking path and access to it, so there's a separate, in the phase 7, and there's a separate path to it so people can get in, and it's, you know, accessible.
Okay. Thank you. I have one other question on the 180 kids. How did you come up with that formula?
I'm not sure if this, sometimes in the plus letters, they do tell me how many kids they anticipate.
I think that's all we did.
Yeah.
I believe we just got it from the plus letters. We'll double check that.
Yeah. No further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Schmidt.
Are there any wetlands in the lot lines?
No.
And this rendition I have, are you planning on having a streetscape trees?
A formal landscaping plan has not been developed, but I believe there is some trees and bushes proposed along the streets.
So it would be a streetscape type scene?
Yes.
No other questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
Early on, we described the area. What is the area to the south of the project?
That is, I believe, the county wastewater treatment plant.
Thank you.
Just close. All right, sir. Mr. Couts?
Just one question, and there's a reason for it. What Mr. Johnson asked about the transportation, the pathways that you're going to include along Townsend Road and the internal sidewalks. Will they connect so that you can go from a sidewalk to the path?
Near the entrance?
At any point, is there...
Talking about the paths along Townsend Road? Yes, we will run sidewalks to that, so those will be able to walk into the community, correct.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Robertson.
My question got answered, I guess, and asked, except for one, just if you could clarify, is this going to develop... at the same time or in progression with the other Stonewater Creek phases? In other words, is this the last part of Stonewater Creek to get developed, or is it going to go at the same time as other phases, or how's it going to be developed?
It's going to be developed in progression, I believe.
There's a good possibility that this will take, I would say, another, 12 months before. Could finalize everything to go to construction, and once we do get it finalized, it will probably be in conjunction with other phases. It won't be, we're not going to do 1 to 9 completely and then start on 10 to 13. We're probably going to handle both sides of the road.
How many phases are there any phases that are, I guess there are some that are built out now. What's either been built or is under construction at this point?
Phase 2 is completely sold to builders and pretty much built out. Phase 3 has been sold to builders, and the site work has been, the streets and the sewer and the water have been put in place. Phase 4 has been started, the site work, and that is it currently for construction.
Thanks. That's all the questions I had, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Well, thank you all. If you take a seat, we'll see what the public has to say.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-26 Ivy Branch Associates? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-26? Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please.
Hello, my name is Tiffany Derrickson. I reside at 30234 Harmon Hill Road, Millsboro, Delaware. I am strongly opposed to Ivy Branch Associates' application to divide the 200 acres of farmland into 360 lots. As a resident in the area, I feel it is imperative the Department of Planning and Zoning deny Ivy Branch Associates' request due to the negative impacts the 360 lots would have to the agricultural area. Many of the proposed 360 lots will border Phillips Branch, which is a tributary to Herring Creek and thus Rehoboth Bay. The state of Delaware is currently under court order to reduce the amount of pollution flowing into Rehoboth Bay. Delaware has the fifth most polluted bays in the nation, and developments along these environmentally sensitive areas must be stopped. Last spring, the developers of Stonewater Creek, which borders Phillip Branch on Route 5, were cited by Denrick repeatedly for allowing sediments from the construction site to run off into the branch and stop the water flow. The citizens of Sussex County cannot and will not continue to allow developers to destroy our inland bays while they profit from its destruction. I encourage the council to consider the importance of balancing development with environmental concerns. If the council continues to rapidly approve developments without concern for the environmental impact, our bays will be destroyed as well as our economic livelihood. Currently, the council has already approved over 1,000 homes to be built in the area within less than a mile of the proposed development. Therefore, any environmental impact study, water quality study, air quality study, or traffic study is invalid. The area is already experiencing road congestion, noise pollution, and water pollution. This does not include the impact of the 1,000-plus homes and cars that have already been approved to be added to the area. The proposed 360 lots that are along Stevenson Road and Townsend Roads, which were one of the last paved roads in Sussex County. Stevenson Road is barely wide enough for two cars to pass each other and does not have a shoulder. Stevenson Road is not capable of handling a high traffic volume that will come from the development of 200 acres of farmland into 360 lots. The state of Delaware recently placed the Long Neck area under a level 4, which means the state will not spend money for new infrastructure. This is part of the Governor's Livable Delaware Act, which aims to keep Long Neck an agriculture area. And as you see from the map, we're struggling to do that. I have already contacted Mark Cote at DelDOT to express my concerns about the development of the 200 acres of farmland into 360 lots and the ability of the current roads to handle the huge increase in usage and traffic flow. It is time to stop ignoring the negative impacts of the rapid development of farmland is having to our water quality, air quality, and the quality of life in Sussex County. Thousands of acres of farmland have already been developed and lost forever. Now, instead of beautiful farms with fields of crops, we have houses of farms with no trees in the yards and little open space in the entire development. Delaware needs to preserve farmland and open space in order to offset the damage from large developments. Ivy Branch Associates has not added enough open space to the development to offset the negative environmental impacts of developing farmland. The 200 acres Ivy Branch plans to build on, approximately 20 acres of that is wetlands, which cannot be built on and should not be considered as active open space since it cannot be used. There is also a family cemetery on the farm, which cannot be developed and must be preserved as mandated by the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966. I strongly feel that wetlands and the family cemetery should be taken out of the cluster housing equation, and only usable land should be considered when deciding the number of lots for a development. It is crucial to the health and well-being of all citizens to have active open space in order for children to have a place to play and people to walk and talk. I am currently currently not aware of any plan of Ivy Branch to incorporate enough active space in their development plans. Therefore, do not believe the development represents the type of cluster housing appropriate for an environmentally sensitive agriculture area. Therefore, I strongly urge Planning and Zoning Commission to deny Ivy Branch Associates permission to develop 200 acres of farmland into 360 lots. And from their presentation tonight, I also have some concerns about the trails going through the wooded areas, which is where the wetlands are. And also just seeing the map, the growth to the area so much has already been approved to see what it can absorb before we add more to give time for the infrastructure. And as Mr. Johnson brought up the schools today in the Milford Beacon, Dr. Smith, the superintendent of Milford School District, is starting to ask developments to share in their cost of growth and to what it costs to our infrastructure, our police, our fire system. So I strongly urge you to deny this request. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions?
Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the balance of your Thursday evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public